chapter 23. How many like getting new toys? Four-wheelers, shotguns, I don't know. How many like getting new toys? All right, that's, some of them out here. I feel like a kid with a new toy this morning. Really. I tell you what, the Word of God's exciting. And I've been reading this book for years and years and years. And I don't know, it just is exciting. I read through it about every 2 months and just to keep up. You know what I'm saying? And the stuff that just comes out. It's neat. That first song we sang this morning, the truth that's in that. Boy, I tell you what, some of the songs we have, if you'll read them and you'll study them, you'll get a lot of biblical content. Now some of them, some of the new ones today, you got to be careful because seven words repeated 11 times really doesn't say a lot. Doc calls them 7-Eleven songs. Seriously, it's really neat what God has for us. I want you to go to the book of Matthew chapter 23 this morning. Book of Matthew chapter 23. And I believe I'm going to read the first, probably the first seven verses here. Down to verse 7. It says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Wow, isn't that interesting? God says, do what they say, but don't do what they do. "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, how wondrous it is. Oh God, it has an attraction and appeal unlike anything in this world. For its truth. We ask today that you would remind us of truth. But moreover, Lord, that you might work on our hearts to allow it to penetrate into our lives. Lord, bless and work in these moments. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. How real are you? How real are you? I've heard some people say, well, that's a real person. And I believe what they mean by that is that what you see is what you get. There's nothing phony about them. They are as real as can be. How real are you? When Paul spoke of Timothy, he reminds us that his faith was not feigned or phony. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." He says unfeigned. In other words, that which does not faint, that which is not phony. In other words, he's saying, I look at you, Timothy, and your faith is real. It is something that is being lived. It's not something just being spoken about. I can see it day after day. When he wrote to him the first time in 1 Timothy 1:5, he said, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." I believe the Apostle Paul was looking for real people. It is interesting that our Lord would reach out to prostitutes. Remember the woman at the well? Remember the woman that was taken in adultery and laid at the feet of Jesus? He would take notice of the paupers. He would take notice of the poor. But He held great disdain for those who were religious phonies. They were not on His most liked list. In this chapter alone, we find it 8 times the Lord pronounces a woe upon them for their hypocrisy. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. 8 times we find this taking place. He identifies them very vividly. And I want to share with you 6 of those in way of introduction. In verse number 3, He talks about those who speak but do not act. Verse number 5, we read just a moment ago, He speaks of those who work only in the limelight. They're going to do it if somebody's watching. Otherwise, it's not going to take place. In verse number 6 and 7, He is speaking of those who love to have titles and love to have honor from men. In other words, if somebody will say something about them, hey, they might accomplish something. You go to verse number 24, and we find that He says these are the kind that make big out of little faults. He says, ye blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes there are those that we run into that some little thing has taken place and they make a big deal out of it. And other things not so big. Verse number 25. They are those who will observe outer rites but neglect the inner man. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. They look proper, they act proper on the outside, but inwardly there is nothing there. Interesting. And then again, verse number 28. They are those who are what I would call severe with others, but lenient with themselves. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. The real question that we all need to ask ourselves is, am I a phony? Am I real? I recently asked a friend of mine his opinion about another. I said, what do you think of this particular individual? And his response was, immediately, he said, he's a phony. A hypocrite. Perhaps the better question we could ask ourselves is, how do we appear to others? Do they see me as real or do they see me as a phony? I want us this morning to just look at the first thing that we spoke of here, where they speak but do not act in verses 1 through 4. And let me read these again. In verse number 2, it says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit where? In Moses' seat. They sit in a position and they have the law of God. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe. We are to listen to the word of God that is being given to us. They observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. These are those who know what to do, but don't do it. Know the actions that ought to take place, but do not act. They know the Word of God and know what needs to be done. And they're very quick to tell others what they need to be doing. But they don't do it themselves. Have you ever had somebody tell you how you ought to be raising your child? While they had a wayward one. Perhaps disrespectful. Perhaps one who was disorderly. They will tell the pastor how it's to be done, but they've never even ever thought about stepping in those shoes or understand the situation. These are the kinds that are very excellent at idle talk. They're like Lucifer in the garden, making obvious questions with the intent to really exalt their own knowledge. Oh, they know. They understand the Word of God. And they know what needs to be done. But as he says here, will not with their fingers pick up the least to even to accomplish it. Talk of labor that needs to be done, but always seem to be avoiding it. Having plenty of suggestions, but no action. They can tell you what to do, but they never do it themselves. How real are you? Do you have plenty of suggestions for others? Do you know what everybody else ought to be doing, but you do nothing? Seriously, we need to stop and look. Am I true blue or am I a phony? Am I real or am I a hypocrite, as the Word of God suggests here of these? They're those who have plenty for others to do. They place standards and works upon others that they could never attain. They expect certain things to be accomplished that they themselves could never do. And they place heavy burdens on others. Things they've attached to the law of God that's to their own liking. To their own opinions, and expect others to follow that, and will even criticize if they're not in the right spot. One of their favorite targets becomes those who are in leadership, pastors, family, others. Why are they a target? Because perhaps they're doing while the other is just talking. They're cowards at heart. And out of concern, I've even seen them send anonymous letters and suggestions and comments to people. Oh, plenty of things to place upon others, but don't do anything themselves. Beware of those with more suggestions than successes. Beware of those who have plenty of criticism but no commitments. But may I say this, if that be true, if somehow we could look into our own soul, if somehow we could know our own heart, where would we be in this thing? Where would we be? Hypocrisy is odious to the Lord. He condemned it here. It received, as I read through the Word of God, more disdain than any other sinful action. How many times you heard people say, well, I ain't going to go to church, there's a bunch of hypocrites there. You know, sometimes they're right. Sometimes they look and they see and they behold people who say this, but they aren't. But on the other hand, those folks who are real build, as mentioned by May here, those relationships. And they see that reality in your life, and it can bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they see something that works. Not something that's just on the surface. Hypocrisy can become very harmful to the cause of Christ. God blesses commitment. God blesses consistency, faithfulness, if you please. But I never see God blessing hypocrisy. How real are we? How real are we? When you pick up this book and read it, is it the practice of your life? Is it the practice of your life? I mean, seriously. when it says particular things that ought to be true in our lives, are you doing it? Is it a part of your life? That's something we need to answer for ourselves. Oh, you know what we're good at? We're very good at seeing that in others. But what about the mirror? And this book is a mirror to our soul. How real is it to us? Interesting place we live. Are we real? Are we real? Oh, we'll look at somebody and we see something they've done wrong, and oh, we can get all over them. You know what? We're right. They did do it wrong, and that's a wrong action to take. But here's the question. What are we doing that's right? How real is Christ to us? What kind of relationship is really there? Is He just a, I'll put Him on Sunday mornings, and I'll take Him off when church is over? Or is He the living reality of your life day in and day out? Interesting spot for us to think about. Over and over and over, woe is pronounced to those who are hypocritical, those who are phony, those who say what they don't do, those who have suggestions but never have any successes, don't accomplish, don't follow through. Where are you at? Where are you at? Are you willing to be painfully honest with yourself? There's one way to take away the woe, and that's to confess who we are. Ask God to forgive us and ask God to change us and become real. There are some folks who pretend to be saved. Can I say to you, those who are walking close to Christ have a pretty good idea you're lying? They want to believe you, but as the Spirit of God speaks to their spirit and your spirit is dead, something's missing. But the real problem is not what those who are walking close to Christ think. It's what you can finally own up to. Is He real in your life? Is He really your Savior? There's some who are just pretending to be Christian or to be saved. Oh, you name His name. My Bible says there will be many in that day say, Lord, Lord, and He will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because that reality is not there. Get in a spiritual conversation sometime, and somebody who's not really walking close to the Lord, they jump into that conversation and they mess it all up. Because there's something not real. In some cases, because they don't know Christ. In other cases, they're not walking with God as they ought to. Don't pretend to be what you're not. But don't be content with not being what you ought to be. I've heard men say, well, this is who I am and nobody likes it. No, nobody does like it. And you shouldn't either. Be real, but be right. Amen? Father, they work in hearts. Lord, your word's so wondrous. Here's just a few verses that show us who we are. Lord, honestly, all of us are there sometimes. God, reveal that to us, and we are. Reveal that right now, that we might repent and we might allow the realness of Christ to enter our soul. Lord God, work in our midst, that we might be a people who are truly living for You. That which is speaking to those round about us. You have said in Your Word that by our love for one another, the world will be spoken to. That love does not develop with hypocrisy, with phoniness, but with realness in You. God, work in our hearts. Bless in these moments. Allow us to be humble enough to bend our knee and to bow our head and say, "Oh God, forgive me. Make me what I ought to be. Change me." God, do a work in our lives this morning. And for that one or two or three or whoever it might be, maybe they've been pretending to even be saved. It's not true. God, would You somehow just speak to their hearts in a way they cannot repel You anymore? Bless in these moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at, please.